The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
As the saying goes, Nero fiddles while Rome burns. It's also been said that the human race could be compared to the occupants of a car that is just catapulted off the edge of a cliff, and all the passengers are still only arguing about what station to put the radio on. That's the state of affairs we face. This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org radio for December 10th, 2016. This is a commercial-free one-hour news program. If you don't want unvarnished, unpleasant, but necessary news, this is the wrong program for you. This is unvarnished news with no commercials, paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org, because our situation is far too dire to break it up with commercial breaks. Too much news to cover, not enough time to cover it. Converging catastrophes from every direction on planet Earth right now. This show is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show are posted at geoengineeringwatch.org under the radio, recent and top story sections, and at KQMS under the archives. You can also call in anytime for any of the last five recordings of this show to the PRN radio network on which this show is also broadcast on the East Coast. That number is 1-701-719-0991. Menued any one of the last five shows anytime over the phone. For those who are ready to wake up to some harsh realities that need to be woken up to soon, that are in the Shasta County Redding area, I want to point out again, at Orchard Nutrition and Redding Radio, there are free copies of a must-watch DVD called Silent Epidemic, The Untold Story of Vaccinations. For those who are still trying to push their head into the sand on the vaccination dangers, you owe it to your children to find out what's really going on. And that battle is heating up by the day as the power structure and the medical industrial complex continues to try to force their toxic and highly damaging vaccinations that are filled with known neurotoxins like mercury and aluminum. They're trying desperately to push those toxic brews on a population that most of which, unfortunately, is unaware of the dangers. So pick up a free DVD. Please only take one copy so we have enough copies for others. We're paying for these copies out of pocket from geoengineeringwatch.org. You can also get a copy of a geoengineering, climate engineering, educational DVD with many menued items on that DVD. And on that DVD, you can see testimony from former government scientists, Union of Concerned Scientists, pilots, lots of data on that DVD if you want to know what's going on in the skies above you that's also raining down unimaginable amounts of toxins like heavy metals that lab tests prove are coming down on us. It's not theory, not speculation, not conjecture, proof. Also, there is information on 9/11, the license by which the power structure unleashed the military-industrial complex for their endless wars. And this is what our country is being built on right now. The weapons industry is what's holding up the economies in our country. But at what cost? The human race faces so many challenges today that it's difficult for many people to decide what's the most important challenge to choose, to try to champion, to try to advance the cause. And as I've stated countless times before, shouldn't we shrink that down to simply asking ourselves what's the most critical factor on which our lives and futures depend? Is that not a planet that supports life? My children, if they were asked by anyone else, because I've drilled this into them, if we have a chance to hit the reset button and you're leading somewhere on the country or you have a chance to contribute to society, what's the most important rule? And this, again, I've trained my children to consider this. What's the most important rule? If it's bad for the planet, it's bad for us. How simple is that? And if someone were to ask my children what would be the most important rule for a society to follow, would that not be it? And yes, there's many other rules, many. I understand that, many important rules that a society must follow if it's to survive its own success. But if we have a planet that won't support life, is that not the end of the road? And the military-industrial complex engaged in decimating the planet from countless directions, not just our country, other countries as well. But let's stop and consider that the U.S. military is larger than the next 10 countries combined. Does anyone see that as a problem? That we're simply spending the last of our resources and sacking the last of our planet just to build more military equipment? The military machine is the primary driving factor that's coordinating the global climate engineering insanity. And I want to say something to the environmentalists. A lot of news to cover today, a lot of headlines regarding the still collapsing global economies that are being propped up and disguised with a lot of money printing. But we'll get to all those stories in a minute. But back to the planet that needs to support life if we're to remain here. I have a question for the environmentalists. The long, long list of environmentalists who are very well organized, who show up for protests, who claim to care about the planet. But here's my question. Why are the environmentalists, again, who claim to be focused on saving the planet and the climate system, why are they so completely and totally in denial over the climate engineering issue? Is it not completely hypocritical for the environmentalist community to point fingers at others for denying global warming, which is real, which is happening? I acknowledge that. But while the environmentalist community is pointing fingers at the global warming deniers, the vast majority of the activists and groups in the environmentalist and global warming communities stand in complete denial of the geoengineering elephant in the skies above our heads, which is mathematically the single greatest environmentally and climate destructive factor of all on the planet. Now, to clarify that, because many people in the anti-geoengineering community then twist what I say as saying that that's the only thing destroying the climate and the environment, and that is absolutely untrue. If it's the single greatest factor, it absolutely does not mean it's the only factor. And if we add up all the other factors together, those factors by themselves would destroy the planet as well. As I've stated so many times, the equation we face is not a this or that equation. It's a this and that and a long list of other factors. Every form of human activity, including climate engineering, that alters the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering that must be recognized. Let's get to some recent news about the power structure's current maneuvering as they're running out of options and how they search for scapegoats to try to create circumstances where they can implement global conflict. The official U.S. narrative is that everyone all over the world is out to get us, one way or another, starting with Russia, Russia, Russia. How often do we hear that now, and how many other countries have we heard that about in recent years? Now North Korea is back on the official imminent threat list, even though they can't even feed their own populations, and even though there is no proof whatsoever that they intend to do anything but rattle their saber by doing the same kind of military testing that the Western powers have carried out thousands of times. And let's ask this question. Who is the military that is bigger, again, than the next biggest 10 militaries combined? Who has over 700 military bases infested all over the globe in everyone else's country and up against everyone else's borders? What would we do? As I've asked many times before, if Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran had their bases jammed up against our borders, let alone located in our own country, the blind hypocrisy of the U.S. population, much of the U.S. population, is reaching levels that are truly perplexing. And the propensity of the U.S. population to gulp down whatever the U.S. corporate media weapon of mass distraction dangles before them is very baffling, truly beyond belief. Official sources have never had to show proof of anything, especially recently. No proof, only statements like, our sources tell us this, or we believe that such and such is happening. Accusations they make against different countries justifying military occupations and invasions, and the U.S. population doesn't seem to question anything. And by pointing out the dangers of the U.S. military and the hypocrisy of much of the U.S. population that supports the aggressive imperialistic behavior of the U.S. military, that is not to say that other militaries and other countries are benevolent or benign. Again, we're back to, this is not a this or that equation. We must break the dichotomous thinking of American society. And we have incredibly dichotomous thinking. It's either this or that, black or white, up or down. The world is not that way. And to criticize one's own country doesn't mean that you are advocating another country or their behavior. It simply means, unless you can clean your own house, unless you can take the log out of your own eye, we have no business talking about the splinter in someone else's eye, as the saying goes, correct? The human race has already crashed through the guardrail of no return because and only because populations, the U.S. population and other first world populations, are so completely blind to the countless truths on which our collective futures depend. Again, we've crashed through the guardrail and are currently careening to the bottom of the canyon because people on all sides of the fence on various issues refuse to actually do real, unbiased investigations of the most critical issues. I talked about that in last week's show. Bias. How many people do you know that are actually looking through a clear lens, that actually care about investigating and not simply defending whatever narrative they've adopted that's being pushed by their peers or the corporate media weapon of mass distraction? Not very many. Not very many people are willing to clear the slate, look at the data, and try to examine what's really going on. Let's get to a few headlines of the struggling and now collapsing global economic nightmare that was built on a foundation that would never last, could never last, and we're back to the simple equation. You can't perpetually expand, loot, pillage, and plunder on a finite planet with finite resources. Here's some headlines. Australian economy contracts in September. Japan, the shipping industry and market consolidation. What happens when the music stops? That's happening right now. I outlined in a previous show, China has laid off some 400,000 steel workers. Should that be a red flag? Shipping industry is crashing. The oceans are crashing as well, by the way. But how do people ignore this? And I know it's the Christmas season and nobody wants to hear this. Everybody wants a reason to ignore things a little bit longer. We're back to the car, over the cliff. Let's decide what station we're on as we crash to the bottom of the canyon. That's the mindset in our society right now. And that kind of mindset won't save us. Another headline. World economy's in trouble. Middle East oil exports lower than 40 years ago. Don't hear a lot of these headlines on mainstream media, do we? We just hear the completely dramatized theater from whatever story they pull out of a hat and to try to distract the population. Another headline. Nearly 1 million Connecticut residents can't pay utility bill. Author of new report finds. That doesn't sound like a really good economy, does it? Another headline. Putting 900 abandoned oil wells to sleep, a serious task. The human race never really considers the consequences of what it does as a whole. From building nuclear power plants that can't be effectively shut down properly, and in more cases, we're going to have more Fukushimas, by the way. That's just the beginning. So now let's look at Fukushima as just an example. That it's estimated it will take at least 50 years, half a century, to deal with that situation. And that estimate is built on no factual data at all because there's no technology to fix Fukushima. None. Zero. The damage it's already done is cataclysmic and irreparable. And there's no end in sight. Three nuclear volcanoes spewing toxic, unimaginably dangerous elements into the sky, into the ocean, no end in sight, no technology to fix it. Most Americans think it's all well. It's all over now. It's just beginning. Think about that. Another headline. India confiscates gold, even jewelry, in raids on hidden money. That's what's going on in India right now. We don't hear much about that because our media doesn't want to start panicking the U.S. population because it's coming here. Just the beginning. As the power structure runs out of options, they will be unimaginably desperate. And those who serve the power structure, the order followers, And if you're an order follower, take a good look in the mirror. Ask yourself what happened to your honor, your morality. Because the only way the power structure can get away with what they get away with is because of the order followers. If you're one, stop. Another headline. Euro devaluation accelerates. Millions of Europeans wishing they'd bought gold. They might wish that now. Perhaps if they had it, it might be taken away from them. And in the end, can they eat that gold? Because they'll be more interested in their next bite of food not too far down the road than they will be a gold coin. As I stated in the show some time ago, for any that wonder how bad the very immediate future might be, watch the film The Road. Take a good, sobering look at that film, and you'll understand exactly where we're headed. Another headline. Deutsche Bank provides, quote, smoking gun proof of massive rigging and fraud in the silver market. No surprise. The entire stock market is nothing but a facade. Statistically, for every 100 ounces of silver sold, it's estimated that one actually exists. Complete fraud, because those in power want to make sure that their printed fiat currencies are actually in charge. And they will try to enforce this sort of fraudulent system until the last possible moment. Another headline. Global weapons sales. U.S.-based companies continue to dominate despite fall in sales. Report shows what I stated earlier. The U.S. economy now largely in many ways built on the military-industrial complex. So do we not think that the military-industrial complex will do whatever it has to do to try to survive? Whatever country it has to invade? Remember what I brought up in a previous show about Wolf Blitzer, who was not really concerned that Saudi Arabia was using U.S. weapons to kill perhaps 10,000 or more innocent civilians in Yemen. What Wolf Blitzer, a former AIPAC, that's the Israeli lobby, former AIPAC lobbyist, what he was concerned about and what he said actually on the air. Well, if we stop selling the Saudis weapons, that could cost us jobs. That's where we're at. Most of society is okay with what Wolf Blitzer said, and that's a very sad testimony to our society. More worried about jobs than the weapons we are building and selling to the Saudis, killing innocent civilians. Unless the majority of our population finds its morality, we're going to continue in that flight off the cliff in the car to the bottom of the canyon. Next headline, U.S. military just admitted its, quote, waste is double Russia's whole military budget. Russia's military budget is 1/8 of what the U.S. spends. Isn't that staggering? And that's just the waste? And why would that be a surprise when there's virtually no accountability? None. Zero. They're not accountable to anybody. That's why they can spray us with toxic elements as part of the climate engineering nightmare that we face. I'll get to the weather shortly, because anybody who thinks the weather is okay, anybody who thinks the climate system is okay, has not done any research at all. None that's valid. Another headline. Common pesticides are more harmful to, quote, good insects than previously thought. Why is that a surprise? Where's common sense in our society, truly? Where is it? Common sense is not common anymore at all. Why would it be a surprise that a pesticide would also kill a good insect? Should that come as a surprise? And why do they have to even put a headline like this out? Is it a surprise that mercury in our mouth causes problems? Is it a surprise that fluoride in our water is causing massive neurological problems? And that's really, it's inarguably really the intent of those in power, because fluoride in the water tends to delete objective thinking in the population. It dumbs you down, period. Are we surprised that fluoride is put in our water, just like it was in Nazi prison camps, put in the water to make the prisoners a little more manageable? How hard is it to connect these dots? So the insects are dying, good insects, from chemicals, and that's supposed to be a surprise to us. Another headline, giraffes are heading toward silent extinction. What an iconic animal. A giraffe, what a beautiful creature. And that's just one creature of the now 200 to 300 of plant animals and insects that are going extinct every single day. A lot of people can't get their arms around that figure. I don't know how anybody really could get their arms around that figure. And for those who are the denialists. They deny everything. And I'll get to some of the top denialists in the world, paid denialists, soon on this broadcast. But those who want to deny that anything's wrong, or are paid perhaps to convince others to believe that kind of lie, they try to reach for the fact that, well, species have always gone extinct, so we shouldn't be surprised that the giraffe is going to go extinct. They would try to sell us something like that. The current species extinction rate is about 15,000 times the normal background rate. We are in the sixth great mass extinction. That means the current rate is about 1.5 million% of normal. Is that normal? I think not. Another headline. Hillary reemerges and slams dangerous epidemic of fake news. Why is that a surprise? Geoengineeringwatch.org on the original, quote, fake news list was about 10th on the list of 100 or 200. We were pretty near the top. And that shouldn't be a surprise, given the subject we most deal with, climate engineering, which is the greatest single destructive force on the planet at this moment. And that's saying a lot, because there are an endless list of destructive forces. I just brought up Fukushima. We have so many factors that we're facing that all connect to human activity. The 100 million tons of CO2 put in the atmosphere every day, the cutting down of the forest, the paving of the planet, the poisoning of the oceans. I could go on and on and on. But more than any other factor, climate engineering is eliminating the planet's ability to respond to much of the damage done. Climate engineers are not doing anything benevolent. It's completely malevolent, only for their own purposes, to confuse the population as to the true damage done to the climate, to use weather as a weapon for various purposes, to bring countries to their knees, to then force them to allow U.S. occupations, the 700 bases I just mentioned earlier. It's a giant out-of-control cancer, the military-industrial complex. So why would it be a surprise that Hillary, who's a part of that, is helping with the effort to shut down real news sites that the Orwellian society we live in calls fake news sites, and the public seems happy going about their business as if nothing's wrong. Their only source of real information is being threatened. And if people think Donald Trump is really going to go against this established cancer, do we see that happening yet? I don't see it yet. I hope by some miracle that's the case, but I sure don't see it happening when he's appointing nothing but military personnel every direction you turn. And people like John Bolton, who ran the death squads in Central America to protect, quote, U.S. interests, which means U.S. money, U.S. corporations, killing, literally killing people who in any way stood against those U.S. imperialistic interests. Don't see anything hopeful from Mr. Trump yet at all. Another headline, rolling back the empire. Washington's proxy army faces decisive defeat in Aleppo. Washington's proxy army of moderate terrorists. What's a moderate terrorist? Is there such a thing as a moderate terrorist? Is there such a thing as a moderate murderer, perhaps? Does that make sense? But America buys these terms. Americans buy these terms when the whole goal, to begin with, always was about toppling that country, toppling a regime that was against, just like John Bolton, against U.S. interests. It's exactly what it's always been about. Going back to my previous shows, way back, the grand chessboard, Brzezinski, the advisor to presidents, going all the way back to Johnson, and the goal of toppling a list of Eurasian countries that Wesley Clark verified, General Wesley Clark, right after 9/11. The whole plan was already laid out on the record from Wesley Clark. All these countries were to be toppled. And the American population goes along with this as if it's okay, as if it's the other country that's the aggressor, even though it's us in their country with, quote, moderate terrorists that our country is funding, fueling, and arming. There's nothing moderate about a terrorist, period. And yet Americans somehow believe it's everyone else's fault. It's Russia's fault. Why would Russia want a country near its border to be toppled and taken over by terrorists? Why would they want that? And yet Russia's demonized for trying to not allow that country to be toppled and fall into chaos like Libya and like Afghanistan and Iraq and every other country that our military and our power structures intervened with. Americans need to find out what's really going on. That starts by turning off corporate news. That's where it starts. Connect the dots yourself. Find your common sense. Find your sense of honor. Do some real research and real investigation. Dump your biases. If we're to have any chance to survive, not just as a country, but as a species, people need to abandon their biases and do some real research. Now, here's a headline, another headline. Everything you've read about the wars in Syria and Iraq are wrong. From that report, despite these similarities, the reporting by the international media of these two sieges is radically different, meaning Iraq and Syria. In Mosul, Iraq, civilian loss of life is blamed on ISIS, again, which the U.S. is indirectly supporting, but they blame it on ISIS to take the blame off what the U.S. has done. So it's blamed on ISIS with this indiscriminate use of mortars, suicide bombers, while the Iraqi army and their air support are largely given a free pass. ISIS is accused of preventing civilians from leaving the city so they can be used as human shields. In contrast, what the Western media depicts of the human savagery of President Assad's forces indiscriminately slaughtering civilians regardless of whether they stay or try to flee. The UN Chief of Humanitarian Affairs, Stephen O'Brien, suggests this week that the rebels in East Aleppo were stopping civilians departing. But unlike Mosul, the issue gets little coverage. What is this report saying? It's saying the situation with the, quote, moderate terrorists that the U.S. is supporting and arming are doing the same thing in Aleppo that they're doing in Mosul. So the U.S. media covers Mosul and blames the civilian carnage on ISIS. But when the same exact thing happens in Syria, in Aleppo, with, quote, moderate terrorists that the U.S. is arming, killing civilians, suddenly now the blame goes on Syria and Russia. Total hypocrisy, unimaginable hypocrisy. And if you watch the spokesman for the Pentagon in press conferences, and they have, as I said earlier in this show, they have no facts to back up anything they say. But the fact that they said it, the U.S. population, as I said earlier in the show, takes the bait, no questions asked, no research done. And so we have a population that doesn't have a clue what's going on and think it's okay that their military is rampaging all over the globe, wreaking havoc to protect U.S. interests, i.e. U.S. corporations, and that's all okay because they believe the first lie that they were fed from U.S. corporate media. If you care about your children's futures, it's not just about vaccinations, it's not just about climate engineering, it's about what your military-industrial complex is doing around the globe. It's about everything. Another headline from the Weather Channel. Watch out for thunderstorm asthma. Back to the climate engineering. And for those who remember from, I believe, 2 weeks ago when I covered the thunderstorm asthma epidemic in Australia, and although some might try to grab the straw and say, well, it's happened before. Well, yeah, it's happened before for the same reason it's happening now. Because unimaginable amounts of toxins are being dumped into these storms wherever there's moisture, and we can see this on the radar. We have the lab tests to prove it. Every single precipitation test we take is contaminated. It doesn't matter where it comes from. And those contaminants, the largest percentage of those contaminants match climate engineering patents exactly. Why would we not think climate engineering is toxifying our breathable air column? And now we have these asthma attacks. We have now the Weather Channel trying to explain thunderstorm asthma, the headline that says, watch out for thunderstorm asthma, as if this is now normal. As if it's normal for all of us to get Alzheimer's, all of us to get cancer, for 1 in 25 of our children to have autism, which is a 40,000% increase from the mid-70s. 40,000, the latest statistics, 1 in 25 boys. When will the population wake up to the fact that the job of the corporate media and all these agencies that the power structure owns, runs, and controls is to make us like frogs in boiling water? To just keep us complacent until the very, very end. And that's what the population is going along with so far. And I want to do a quick update on our legal efforts. Many people ask about this. At geoengineeringwatch.org, we've tried so diligently to organize a legal action effort for the climate engineering issue, which would relate to the thunderstorm asthma issue, because our point with legal action is to prove that agencies are hiding a known and verifiable toxic heavy metal contamination that's raining down from the skies above. that's directly related to climate engineering. The effort in Canada is still ongoing, although the Canadian government has tried to dismiss the case. That has not happened. A reply has been given, and that's now going through a long approval process to keep the case alive. That's still going. We would expect this kind of delay from the government there. And the government here, as I've stated in a previous episode, has very elaborately constructed the legal system and the environmental law system in a manner that tries to block bringing such a suit to complaint, to bringing it to an actual filed legal action, because they've made the environmental limits of toxins so incredibly high that it's their way of trying to block such a lawsuit as we're trying to bring. But our efforts are ongoing very diligently, and the suit will come soon. But know that we are working on that. A team of attorneys, we have two new attorneys now that are helping us that are specialists, and they're simply building a ship that will float, a complaint that will stick. So we're working on that. I'll give updates as soon as I can. But the bottom line is, back to the thunderstorm asthma, we now have not just the incident in Australia, we have an incident in Kuwait. Here's a headline. Covert depopulation, question mark. This is the headline. Mysterious, quote, thunderstorm asthma now strikes Kuwait. 5 dead, almost 1,000 hospitalized. Now, let's back into the Australian event where they tried to blame the, quote, asthma epidemic from the thunderstorm on pollen from ryegrass and other elements that don't exist in Kuwait. But the same phenomena just happened again. When will people connect the dots? We know that they're dumping unimaginable amounts of material into the air. We had the world's top geoengineers like David Key stating on the record the goal of dumping 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually. 20 million tons annually. Break that down. It's 600 to 800 tankers of toxic heavy metal and chemical materials every single day, dumping 60 to 70 tons each. How much material is that? And where there's a large cell of moisture like a thunderstorm, that's where we see them dumping the most. Is it any surprise that the, quote, asthma attacks keep happening? And back to the order followers I mentioned earlier in this show, the medical industrial complex, the military industrial complex, the climate science community, all of whom are in criminal denial of what's really going on in our skies because their paychecks and pensions depend on them towing the lie. Just like the liars at the Weather Channel, that's exactly what they are. And anybody who watches the Weather Channel that knows anything about the climate engineering issue would see right through the theater that they create to try to explain everything away, like they just tried to explain away something I've been talking about for years. The chemically nucleated snow sublimates. In many cases, it tends to convert from a solid to a gas, and not a lot of moisture comes off of it. And that's what we would expect from a chemically nucleated endothermic reacting material. It tends to sublimate like dry ice. So the Weather Channel just had an episode with their paid liars trying to explain away why much of the snow is sublimating. And they try to explain away why the snow is falling at 45 degrees, how the rain can magically change to snow. And for those who don't think snowstorms can be engineered, I've stated again and again and again, search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. You'll find coverage by Popular Science, Fox News, and the rest. Because when I did the coverage of the Dakota snowstorm weapon of infliction on the protesters there, I heard from some people from Dakota saying, this is crazy. It's always snowed here. Of course it's always snowed in Dakota. Does that mean they can't engineer something on top of that? Did those people even bother to look that when that snowstorm happened, it was 50 plus degrees and raining right next door in Minnesota, and that same moisture wrapped around into Minnesota where it suddenly and magically turned to snow? And the longer they engineer a snow event, the more moisture they have, the more chemical nucleating they do, the lower the temperatures go. They can keep dropping them lower and lower as they keep chemically nucleating. And so just because it's historically snowed in Dakota, how does that mean that they're not engineering something far worse right now? That's like saying, well, it's historically rained in Vietnam, so why would we believe that Project Popeye, a publicized weather warfare activity conducted by the U.S. that created much more rain, then the kind of logic that some people in Dakota have had on this because they've always had snow, we can't believe this is an engineered snowstorm. That would be, again, like saying it's always rained in Vietnam. So even though the U.S. admitted they were creating much more rain and these programs of weather warfare were historically publicized, they can't be real because it's rained in Vietnam before. I don't know if any of that made sense, but that's the kind of logic we've gotten from some who choose not to believe weather modification is real. I want to finish a statement from this report about the thunderstorm Asthma that struck Kuwait. A week or so ago, conspiracy theorists were scratching their heads as to why more than 8,500 people in Australia would suddenly have to be hospitalized in a concentrated wave of allergies that left several people dead. Now, a similar event has been reported in Kuwait, where reports claim that thunderstorm activity has triggered a mass reaction and nearly 1,000 people were taken to the hospital with severe asthma. Again, several people died. So what's really going on? Is it a covert deadly substance being sprayed deliberately from planes, as government did back in the 60s and countless times since? Historical fact. Final sentence from the report. While officials are quick to reassure everyone, because that's their job, pacify the public, to reassure everyone that it's perfectly normal for so many people to be suddenly affected, this really isn't a routine occurrence, and somebody must have better explaining to do. End of the report. Think about that. Use your common sense. Use your sense of reason. That's why you have it. Another headline, UK toxic fog warning, killer pollution set to hit Britain. They know ahead of time. Now they know ahead of time that toxic fog will hit the Brits. From that report, a toxic winter smog is set to descend, it's the scheduled weather, by the way, on the UK amid dire warnings of killer pollution levels. Quote, the radiation fog is expected to engulf the country for 24 hours. Those with asthma or health conditions are in the most danger and have been warned to stay indoors as much as possible. It comes after a toxic smog warning was issued in London during last week's killer freeze. Back to chemical ice nucleation, what I just explained. And the kind of reaction that we see the Weather Channel people trying to explain, this material sublimates, converts from a solid to back to a gas, not much liquid comes off it. We know this moisture is being seeded. We can see it on radar. We have countless radar images of massive aerosol spraying, floating marine layers into coastal areas in an attempt to try to cool things down a bit. Climate modification is toxifying the entire planet and our breathable air column. And again, organizations like the Weather Channel are tasked with trying to explain this away to a population that so far doesn't really want to know the truth. Headline that relates to all of this contamination we're breathing. Here's a headline. Quote, dying younger. U.S. life expectancy is a real problem. End of headline. People are dying younger, cancer sooner. The respiratory mortality is going off the charts. Why would this be a surprise? Another headline. Half the world's species failing to cope with global warming as Earth races towards its sixth mass extinction. A couple of problems with that headline. First, Earth is not racing toward its sixth mass extinction. It's well into its sixth mass extinction. And headlines like this, again, do not mention climate engineering. And that's a big problem. You can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. Another headline. Thousands of snow geese die in Montana after landing on contaminated water. Not much mainstream coverage of that, is there? Because we have military-industrial complex, fossil fuel industry, all joined at the hip, all running the planet, all running roughshod on everyone, and they don't want you to know the carnage that their practices are causing. And sadly, many Americans don't want anything to go wrong with their ability to go fill up their Winnebago and go for a trip, so they don't really want to know this either. From that headline, huge flock of migratory birds landed on acidic waters off an open pit mine where the employees attempted to scare them off. Several thousand snow geese have died. After a snowstorm, back to the chemically engineered snowstorm, geese know how to fly in a snowstorm. What's different about this snow? Forced large flocks to take refuge in the acidic, metal-laden waters off an old open pit mine. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. Now, and let's consider again, for those in Dakota who tried to make the case that it's always snowed in Dakota, let's go back to October 4th, 2013, where a freak October snowstorm killed 100,000 cattle with snow that was falling at 40 degrees at the very same time. And I captured the maps. I have these maps on a geoengineeringwatch.org post anybody can look at because they were soon erased from online. A At the same time that a freak, quote, snowstorm killed 100,000 cattle in Dakota, it was 85 degrees, 85 and raining in Chicago, and 90 degrees and raining in Kansas City. Does anybody really believe that snowstorm was natural? And that endothermic reacting material flash burns, extremely cold to the touch. It's not a natural material, and it's very adhesive. It sticks to the hides of the cattle, sticks to their snouts, their nostrils. If a cow's nostrils are clogged, it can't breathe and it dies. It won't breathe through its mouth. So these incidences keep going on and on. 250,000 alpacas died in South America, one of several incidents like it. Are we to believe that's natural, that alpacas somehow don't know how to survive in the snow? American population is completely asleep at the wheel, back to the car, crashing over the cliff I outlined earlier. On both sides of the climate change debate, there's virtually no mention of climate engineering, and that's exactly what the power structure and the climate engineers want. So regarding the type of scenarios I've just outlined, the engineered winter events using jet stream manipulation and massive amounts of chemical ice nucleating materials that are dumped over the clouds and the storms from aircraft, for those that claim there is no global warming and yet who still claim to be against climate engineering, how can you carry on your conversation about any state of the climate without making climate engineering the primary point in your conversation, especially when it comes to engineered winter events and chemical ice nucleation? Why is it that the global cooling camps can never bring up the fact that global dimming is now over 25%? That means how much of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet, much of that due to climate engineering, not all of it, but much of it. And climate engineering, again, chemical ice nucleation, is being conducted over almost all areas of the planet where there is enough precipitation to carry on these operations. Combination radar satellite maps clearly show the chemical ice nucleation taking place as bands of rain flash back and forth from just rain to snow and back to rain, often in locations that are far above freezing temperatures. In the global warming environmental organizations, let's get to you and your camps and your activism groups, the same question applies to you. How can you carry on your conversation on the state of the climate while completely ignoring the climate engineering elephant in the skies above us? We're all swimming in a sea of denial and bias, and this includes both sides of the climate engineering and climate change issues. I want to get to some more headlines that are verifiable, and I want to state this emphatically on the record. I never ask anyone to believe me. I'm only asking you to investigate anything that I share on this show. That's all I'm asking. So, economic collapse globally, absolutely imminent, unavoidable, can't expand perpetually on a finite planet with finite resources. Global conflict, likely imminent from a desperate power structure that knows the kinds of changes I just described are coming, inevitable, and they will play their last cards in total desperation. Global conflict. With that in mind, as the biosphere continues to implode, here's more headlines to back that up. These are all recent headlines, by the way, so anyone can verify this online. Here's a headline. Polar sea ice the size of India vanishes in record heat, scientists say. From that report, citing satellite measurements from the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center, Reuters reported that an extent of sea ice off Antarctica and the Arctic on December 4th was 1.48 million, almost 1.5 million square miles below the last 30-year average, which is lower than the pre-industrial average, by the way, already. So we're exceeding even that limit. To visualize just how much ice has vanished, the news service explained we've lost an area of sea ice as big as India or two Alaskas. That's the reality from the front line. Investigate that reality, and climate engineering is making that reality worse, not better. A quote from Mark Sirez, NSIDC, National Snow and Ice Data Center Director, told Reuters this: there are some really crazy things going on. He continued, the Arctic experienced temperatures 36 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than normal. Now, let's make that headline worse. 36 degrees above normal is a lot. We don't hear about that here, do we? Because we have the Weather Channel covering the tracks for the climate engineers, making theater out of the engineered cool downs, shallow layer of chemically ice nucleated cool down. Very cold if you're in it. Doesn't mean it's not real cold. It's cold. But how warm is it overall in other areas, and how shallow is that layer of cold? That's the question. So here's another headline. We thought that was bad, that the Arctic was 36 degrees above normal Fahrenheit. Here's a headline. Arctic air temperatures, this is from Thursday or Friday of the last week, Arctic air temperatures are set to hit 55 degrees Fahrenheit above average on December 8th. And it appears they did on that date. Out of season ice melt again. It's happening right now. Nobody's talking about the fact that as with the jet stream manipulation that's happening with ionosphere heaters, they're pushing that cold air south. In this case, parking the center of that over the, happens to be, perhaps just a coincidence, over the Dakota area. That's the center, but it branches out obviously much farther from there. But that's the center of the bullseye in maps that I posted that I challenge anyone to look at, the NOAA maps, which is the schedule weather. NOAA's modeling, again, done by Raytheon, who does all the modeling for National Weather Service and NOAA. Raytheon, defense contractor that's neck-deep in geoengineering programs, so they're posting the schedule weather. But the center of seven tiers above normal, a bullseye, or excuse me, below normal, a bullseye of cold is sitting right on top of the Dakotas. Is that a coincidence? And it's parked there. It's not moving anywhere. And take a look at the maps I posted, successive maps in the post on geoengineeringwatch.org, power structure wages, weather warfare against Dakota pipeline protesters. Take a look. Search it online. It's still happening right now. But nobody talks about the fact that the Arctic is in total meltdown at 55 degrees above average in places. Can't hide that headline much longer. Another headline. 70-mile-long crack opens up in Antarctica. Challenge anyone to look that one up, because a whole ice shelf is cracking off. The crack looks like something that we saw in the movie The Day After Tomorrow. It's real. It's happening. Climate engineering, in the effort to hide it and use weather as a weapon, is making the entire situation far worse, not better. Also, massive levels of methane continue to build up in the atmosphere. I talk about that a lot because methane may be the final nail in our collective coffins, even though there's so many other nails from so many other sources. Methane has the power to destroy all life on this planet if enough of it reaches our atmosphere. So massive levels of methane continue to build up in the atmosphere, though the methane is from many sources, including fracking. The largest and most threatening source is the rapidly thawing methane hydrates and clathrates. That's formerly frozen methane deposits in tundra areas and on the seafloor, specifically on the seafloor. And this methane is migrating into the atmosphere, likely connected to the rapid methane levels and rapidly rising global temperatures. There was a record early start to the noctilucent cloud formation this season. Just posted an article on that yesterday. Challenge anybody to look at that article and look at those pictures. This is a very, very, very ominous sign. It backs up what I've been trying to say, and some other researchers have been trying to say for a very long time. Unfortunately, those other researchers, for example, from the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, will not admit to climate engineering because it's a very bad career decision, or worse, because, in fact, in 2015, three very well-known Arctic researchers died unexpectedly. And we have the top Arctic researcher initially stating on the record he thought they were killed. He later retracted that after he was likely threatened himself. But the bottom line is, why don't the frontline Arctic researchers talk about climate engineering? Very bad career decision, much worse likely. Some of them are dying untimely deaths already. So that should come as no surprise. It's up to us to put this data out. It's up to us to provide the cover that some of these researchers need to admit to climate engineering so we have a chance to stop climate engineering. And they won't come out of the shadows and join us unless the anti-geoengineering communities are standing on solid ground with solid conclusions built on solid data, not conclusions built on some headline dangled by a fossil fuel industry, military, industrial complex, geoengineer industry headline that was fabricated for them by corporate media. Another anomaly. Thunder snow is now the norm. And a waterspout was even formed over Lake Erie last week. You don't get that on cold lake water. The lake water is incredibly warm. The oceans are incredibly warm. And thunder snow is now the norm because the atmosphere is overall much warmer. And this cold layer of air is only at a low level, a shallow level. These are the facts that the public is not being told. In fact, here's a headline to back up what I just said about the waterspout over Lake Erie and how warm the Great Lakes are. Here's a headline from October. Lake Michigan is so warm, it set a new October record. Actually, that headline was from November, about October. Record warm Great Lakes, record warm oceans. And let's remember, a cubic meter of water contains 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. The water is what matters most. Why do we have algae blooms happening all over the country? Because the water is warming rapidly everywhere. We are headed for Canfield Ocean. That's the dead, lifeless ocean. If that happens, we're done. Geoengineering is also shredding the ozone layer as well. And all of this weaves back into the economy. All of it weaves back into the military activity that's happening. As the planet implodes, the military, in a last effort of total desperation, will try to likely create massive distraction with global conflict. Back to the Dakota protesters. Here's a headline. Army denies Dakota pipeline permit in victory for the Native tribes. I think many people already know that that may be a sleight of hand. And hopefully the water protectors, I know they know this, that this is not the final victory by any stretch. It's simply a ploy, because the cold zone that's parked right on top of the Dakota protesters remains. It absolutely remains. Another headline. Many protesters leave Standing Rock as weather conditions worsen. That's part of the plan. And why is the Dakota protest so important? Because it is the symbol of the population finally standing up to the power structure, the military-industrial complex, the fossil fuel industry. I just did an interview last week for an ABC radio station in Dakota, WDAY, an ABC affiliate. And the host, to protect his paycheck and pension, was doing his best to somehow marginalize my implication that these snowstorms over that area were being engineered. He had no clue, never did any research, never bothered to check the popular science articles or the Fox News coverage of the Chinese engineering snowstorms. He just somehow knew it was all impossible. The Chinese can do it, I guess, but we can't do it. But this radio announcer for the ABC radio station was like so many other criminals in the media that simply toe the line for whatever they're told. They don't investigate. They don't care about the truth. They only care about their paychecks and pensions. Here's another headline. Let's plug into the now strangely anomalous record cold and record snow over the Dakota protesters. Here's the headline. It's been a record warm autumn in the U.S. November was the second warmest on record in most of the U.S. Think about that. Record warm Great Lakes, record warm autumn, record warm Arctic, record warm globally, 2016 beating 2015, which beat 2014, three record years in a row. And yet somehow we have this amazing bullseye storm centered right on top. The cold is centered right on top of the Dakotas. Is that just a coincidence? From this report, it's almost certain that 2016 will be the second hottest year on record for the contiguous U.S., with new data showing that November was the second warmest on record for the lower 48, capping off a record hot autumn for the second year in a row. 2015 broke record warm autumn. 2016 just broke that again. The report continues, even if December were one of the 20 coldest months on record, the average temperature in 2016 for the continental U.S. would still be the second warmest. Chris Finnemore, a physical scientist with NOAA's National Center for Environmental Information, said in an email. Now, even if the continental U.S. had one of the coldest Decembers on record, the overall for the U.S. would be the second warmest on record, and globally would be a record-shattering warm still. And why is the U.S. continually coming in colder than much of the rest of the world? Why is that? And I have maps posted through 2015 and 2014 that shows this incredible blue dot. When we look at the average global temperatures in recent years in a world that's red of above normal temperatures in so many locations, there's a blue patch over much of the U.S., mainly the eastern U.S. Why is that? Because that's where most of the U.S. population lives, and that's who the climate engineers want to confuse the most, period. Climate engineering is real, and anyone who discusses the climate from any side of the climate engineering or climate change debate, you can't discuss the climate without discussing climate engineering first and have a legitimate conversation. Providing factually verifiable frontline truths that the majority of people don't want to hear does not make one popular. But if we care about the truth, if we care about the future of our children and the future of the planet on which their lives depend, telling the full unvarnished truth is all that matters. We would all do well to ask ourselves each and every day, why are we here? If not to fight for the greater good, then why? Make your voice heard while it still matters. Find out what's happening around you. Share it with others. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.